Hi, welcome to AIN 1.5, Ayurvedic Integrative Nutrition. 1.5, we're already into the second half of the teachings. And you'll really see that now that we've done, the first half has really been foundational. Now you know the doshas, you know the energies, you know the attributes, you know the Agni and the states of Agni. Now it's time to really apply it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, as well as next week when we have our live class together, where I'm really inviting you to bring your questions so we can have a lively Q&A. And please try to keep them as much as possible on the things that we've been discussing so that we can work on really building and strengthening our knowledge of what's been taught so far. And then let's also have a case study or two. Today we're going to be talking about Agni and how to address the states of Agni, as well as we'll go into more detail on foods for the seasons, foods for the doshas, and universal wellness plans. Also spices for the doshas and seasons, and meal preps, how to prep food best for each season and each dosha, okay? So again, this builds on what you've been learning. Hopefully now you're very comfortable with, feel very familiar and even fluent with the language of Ayurveda, the language of energies and energy medicine. Hopefully you've also had a chance to really pay attention to how nature affects you, how your environment affects you, how people affect you, how food affects you. And also, hopefully, you've had a chance to really question your own Agni and explore not only your states of Agni, but what improves your Agni and what helps you feel that you're not only digesting optimally, but metabolizing optimally and really getting the best out of nature that is always seeking to nourish you, right? So let's begin there, since this is an Ayurvedic integrative nutrition course, and we are talking about the integration of mind and body, as well as our individual human self with the universal self or cosmos, nature, the natural world itself. Let's start by just tuning in a little bit to that. I want to begin by inviting you to close your eyes and bring in your awareness to your body and noticing how you feel in your body. Bringing your awareness to your breath and noticing how you feel with each breath. Seeking now to deepen the in-breath. Not just lengthening it, but really pulling it into your belly. And then making the exhale nice and long and smooth and even. Breathing in and breathing out. Allow yourself to feel every cell in your body tingling with aliveness, tingling with prana, tingling with intelligent energy, radiant energy. And letting yourself feel aliveness in your body. And paying attention now to where you feel that. Where you feel it the strongest or the tingliest. And then imagine that with your breath, you could unite those tingly feelings, that feeling of prana in the cells, so that it's one smooth and even flow. All the prana in your body is part of one smooth, even flow. Let yourself feel it with each breath. You make that connection. And you strengthen that flow of prana in your body. Then bring your awareness to your belly and allow yourself to see in your entire belly region a beautiful fire, a beautiful, strong fire, clear, warm, just exactly the right height, the right strength, the right temperature to make you feel good. Let yourself visualize a fire in your belly and visualize that you can take everything from today, from this week, from this month, from this year, everything that you feel no longer serves you, just put it right there in that fire and watch the fire embrace, receive, and deliciously enjoy consuming and eating that which you fed it. And go ahead and throw in anything else that you feel ready to throw into this fire. You can even put your hands on your belly to honor it, hold it. And just give some gratitude to this fire, this Agni within, that gives you the right temperature, gives you the capacity to move through life, taking in nourishment and releasing depletion. And finally, bring your awareness to your heart center. Visualize there's 8 petals of love. Imagine 8 rose petals there in your heart center. 8 petals, just 8 petals of beautiful floral scented rose. And then a gentle breeze picks them up, brings them up so that you get that beautiful floral scent, and then scatters them all through your entire being. As if that floral scent of love is able to flow everywhere within you and around you, so that you are filled and surrounded by love and beauty. Allow yourself to feel yourself present, aware, and gently held. Allow yourself to feel the kiss of nature, whether it's a gentle breeze on your skin, warm sunlight on your skin, a beautiful sound of a bird or an animal or nature. Allow yourself to receive nature's love. And to feel that relationship with you and nature has no walls, nothing to separate. Feel it as a flow, as a connected conversation. As a heart throb, one to the other. Beautiful. And then palms to your heart center. Honoring that Satchitananda, pure presence, pure consciousness, pure bliss. Honoring the forces of prana, tejas, ojas within us. And honoring the power of nature to restore us to wellness. Okay, let's start where we left off last week. Let's start with Agni. So with Agni, again, we're talking about ignition, the word that gives us our word ignite. And really the primary, the fundamental, the central engine in the belly is Agni. And the central focus in Ayurvedic integrative nutrition is that Agni. How is a person's Agni doing? People who come to Ayurveda for healing, they can have a dosha imbalance, they can have an Agni imbalance, they can have both. If they have Agni imbalance, they're likely to have ama. Remember ama. And ama is what? It is a sticky, toxic substance that is the result of undigested food. Undigested food particles that go and lodge themselves somewhere in the tissues, perhaps in the digestive tract, causing a sluggish digestion, or in one of the seats of the doshas even, colon, small intestine area, lungs. Or it's going to escape the seats of the dosha, and it's going to go out into the body somewhere. Can lodge in joints. Joints are Sunday, and we're always said to be careful of Sunday, S-A-N-D-H-I. Sunday is a joint or a gap, and it's where, you know, two boards may come together at a 90-degree angle. It's in London when you're getting off the tube, they say, mind the gap. You've got to step across. There's a bit of a gap at some of the stations in London. And I think that saying, mind the gap, is so important in Ayurveda. It's the gap of seasons. It can be the gap of a time, a period of our life, puberty, menopause. All of these are called sandhis, times of day, from the vata to the pitta time of day, from the vata to the kapha time of day. These are all sandhis, and we have to mind the gap because the doshas can get caught or trapped in the gap, or they can be vulnerable, they can be weaker, they can be depleted in or by the gap. So Ama will go often and find the weaker places in the body, one of which is the sandhis, or a place where you've had an injury in the past, or a place where the doshas escape too, once they've left their seat, their site, their location, home base, you could say. So Ama is a result of disturbed, disrupted, dysregulated Agni. Okay? So really what we're looking at, when we're looking at how do we use Ayurvedic integrated nutrition to help restore wellness, we have to look at two things: state of Agni, state of the dosha. Okay? So I want to talk about how we're going to address a dysfunctional or dysregulated Agni. But first I want to remind you that Agni can be dysregulated for a lot of reasons. What causes Agni to go out of balance? What causes Vishma Agni, Tikshna Agni, or Manda Agni? Remember, what is the name of balanced Agni? Sama Agni. So how do we restore Sama Agni? First, let's talk about how it gets imbalanced. Because remember, Ayurveda is always about returning the pathway home. So if somebody's going in one direction that's caused an imbalance or a dysregulated Agni, we have to bring them back from that. We need to know what is the pathway that caused the dysregulation. Okay, so much of Ayurveda is about pathway, and that's why we want to work with somebody more than just once. We don't just say, here's the pill, here's the solution. The solution in Ayurveda is a pathway. The solution is to take somebody and incrementally build them towards the path of wellness. Ultimately, we want a Grand Canyon of wellness instead of a Grand Canyon of dysregulation, right? The Grand Canyon created itself just by one river continuously going along the same pathway. Now, that would be very hard if that was a negative pathway to get out of. How would you get out of the Grand Canyon if you have created that as your own pathway? Yeah, you have to climb up to the top and go find a new river. Or you want to even it out. You want to reduce that pathway. And we have pathways throughout the body. Our brain is pathways. These synaptic patterns that are caused by our thoughts, by our repetitive patterns, thoughts, chanting, song, words that we hear over and over, it's created pathways in the brain. How do we change that? You see, when we're talking about how we're going to create wellness, we've got to really think about not just what has somebody been eating, or not just what should they be eating, but what are the levels of stress? What is the brain pattern? What is the mind? What are those pathways looking like? What is their emotional state like? Because a lot of times people are dysregulated doshically, imbalanced in the dosha, or dysregulated in their Agni due to stress. And stress can be physical, stress can be functional, stress can be intellectual, stress can be emotional. Stress has many, many components and many, many ways it can show up. Two people going through the same thing, one can experience that as stress, and one can experience it as life. And they sail through it with greater ease. So constitutionally, how is somebody accepting or embracing life? How are they facing their challenges? To correct a dysregulated Agni, we have to consider stress. And we know the nervous system is either in the sympathetic or the parasympathetic state. And so we talk about that as fight, flight, or freeze, or rest and digest. And of course, you all know what fight, flight, or freeze is like. But the main thing to know there is that if we are in any one of those states, the central body is shut down. the engine of digestion has shut down. There's no energy to digest if we're running or fighting or frozen. So we have to thaw, or we have to calm in order for the body to move into a rest and digest mode. And that's another thing. Rest is a very key component of digestion. Studies have recently shown that the less sleep you get, the more likely you are to gain weight, right? So we need to be careful that we and our clients and our family and friends are getting enough sleep if they want to improve digestion. Remember that time has a dosha too. Remember that clock? So 2 to 6 is vata, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., vata time of day. And then 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., right? So the 6 to 10, that 4-hour period, morning and evening, kapha time. And then 10 to 2, whether it's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., that's your pitta time of day. And so it's important that people go to sleep while it's still kapha time of day. Let kapha slow you down and lay you down. You feel a little heavier, you get a little colder, great time to go to sleep. And it's shown that if you sleep from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., that's when you'll get the maximum benefit from your sleep. Your body's biorhythms will produce the best deep sleep, as well as the best physiological functioning of cleansing, repairing, and restoring your body. That's why it's so important that we finish eating 3 hours before we go to bed, so that we're not taking energy to digest our food, but that the body can do its work of all those, remember those Mahabhuta Agnis, the Agnis that relate to the five elements, because all of our food is feeding our five elements. And each of the five elements has its own fire to break down the food. And then we had the Sapta Dhatus. So there's an Agni for each of the Dhatus, right? And so all of those more subtle Agnis go to work while we're sleeping to restore, reset, repair, rebalance. It's essential that we get that good sleep. And it's not just you need 8 hours. It's 8 hours between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And it's even been shown in the winter we may need more. 8.5 may be normal in the winter for some people, whereas it may be more like 7.5 in the summer. We get a lot of energy from the sun. We think of the sun as being the great symbol of Agni. It is the Agni in the sky. And our Agni is said to be a piece of that Agni. It's said to be a reflection of that Agni. So in the summer, we tend to have more energy from the sun and we need less food. And maybe we need less sleep. In the winter, we have less energy from the sun. We need more energy from our food and from our sleep. And of course, that correlates to hibernating. Right? To really live in rhythm with nature is to allow for that, to recognize that, yes, it's winter, and now I will be more indoors, and I may be sleeping more, and I may be even eating a little bit more. January in the Northern Hemisphere is probably the worst time for anybody to try to lose weight. So many people make that New Year's resolution. And in January, the body wants to insulate, so it wants to be a little bit thicker, a little bit heavier, to have more of that adipose tissue, that kapha, in order to protect the body, to keep it sealed in and warm, right? And also to feed the immune system, because remember, Medha Dhatu is adipose tissue, and that feeds the bones, the marrow and the Majja Dhatu, which feeds the brain and the nervous system, and that feeds Shukra, reproductive tissue, and that feeds Ojas. So we actually need to be a little bit weightier in the winter. That's better for our immune system. That's better for our health. And that's better for our re-regulation of our systems. Right. So just kind of covering again some of that background before we go into how to reset Agni. Remember the three fundamentals, Ahara, Nidra, Brahmacharya. And in this case, again, if you think of Brahmacharya as faith or mindset or something that one does every day to keep their mind and their emotional nature balanced and healthy, stable and strong. So it may be that it really would help somebody to have a meditation practice, to have a restorative yoga practice, to offer them a yoga nidra, even to have them focus on deep breathing. Maybe they do 10 deep breaths in the morning, 10 deep breaths in the evening. Surprisingly, that will go a long way to help reset Agni. So I really want you to think about what practices help you when you feel on the edge, or you feel overwhelmed, or you feel stressed, challenged, afraid, angry, sad. What helps you come back to your heart, to your core, to your center? It's all about coming back to the core. We come back to the core, we're coming back to where our light resides in the heart and our Agni resides in the solar plexus. Come back to our love, we come back to our power. And many, many, many people in the world that we live in, which is vacu, there's this term that's been coined to describe our present times as volatile, accelerated, chaotic, and unpredictable. And in these times like that, no matter how much we may have in the West, we still have a lot of stress. So we need to address that. We can't just say food is always the answer, right? And a lot of times that we go to food because it feels safe, because it feels, you know, feels present, feels like a friend who's there for us. Food, most food is of the sweet taste, and sweet is the taste that corresponds most to the emotion of love. We talked about what is the taste of emotions, and I really want you to correlate your own taste, because this is really a deep pratyaksha to do this, to really feel the emotion and then ask yourself, what is the taste of that emotion? All the information that we get into our five senses is a vibration, and it vibrates at a certain bandwidth, right? And so feelings tend to come into the bandwidth that relates to touch, the sense of touch. Still, at a very subtle level, at the Tan Matra level, we can have a visual, we can have an oral, we can have an oral, or we can even have a smell. So we can taste, we can smell, we can hear, we can see an emotion at a very, very subtle level. And that is really about cultivating a beautiful intimacy with yourself. Sweet is the taste of love, and that's why so often when we lose love, whether it's a breakup or an actual loss of somebody to death, oftentimes we don't want to eat because that trauma is so strong and we're in fight, flight, or freeze mode. But when our appetite does come back, then we oftentimes move towards a sweet tasting food, cookies, cakes, ice cream, or even just bland things like rice. And rice can be a really good thing for someone to eat mixed with yogurt or coconut milk and ginger maybe. That can be a really good thing for someone to eat if they're just coming out of grief and they're just needing to eat, but their digestion still hasn't fully come back online. Sour is the taste of envy. Salty is the taste of, well, there's positive too. So sour gives us that discernment. Salty gives us, you know, a taste for life. It helps us be able to taste life. So it gives us excitement, enthusiasm, taste, delight. And it can also give us a sense of being rancid or even slightly angry, a little bit on edge. Pungent is definitely related to anger, hatred, but pungent also can give definition. So pungent can give us a sense that life is spicy. Life is, again, exciting. Astringent is a taste that relates to the emotion of fear or things that make us tighten up, pull back, retract, sort of disgust even. But on the other hand, astringent can give us, again, a sense of like firmness and focus. And then bitter is related to loss and grief. And, you know, on the positive, it can relate to non-attachment. It can help us to have more of a sense of equanimity and to let go. We don't need to hold on. We feel okay with who we are. We feel part of the oneness of all that is. So sweet relates to love, negatively attachment. Sour relates to greed. Sour relates to greed. So sweet relates to love, but on the negative, too much sweet taste relates to attachment. Sour relates to greed, but on the positive, it can relate to really being able to open to life, embrace life, digest life. Salty can relate to kind of discernment or taste of life, excitement, delight, right? But negatively, salty can be envy. Pungent, positively, can be the spice of life, you know, that which helps us really differentiate and get excited about the uniqueness, the diversity of life that helps us feel alive in this abundant world. We have choice, we have things to look forward to. On the negative, it can relate to anger or hatred. Astringent tonifies, so it can make us feel confident, it can make us feel focused. And then on the negative, it can make us feel retracting or even afraid. Finally, bitter relates to loss and grief, but it can also help us feel that we release the things we attach to because we don't feel we need to own them or hold them. We feel comfortable in our skin and comfortable in the beautiful lightness of being. Okay, so those are these six tastes of emotion. But back to Agni, let's talk about Agni now. We talked about how stress is so fundamental. Stress can totally throw off somebody's Agni. Post-traumatic stress disorder, you're probably gonna see a dysregulated Agni. Somebody going through a chronically stressful time, probably going to see dysregulated Agni. Somebody who's going through a stressful situation with their marriage, with their job, with their children, probably going to have some dysregulated Agni. So it isn't going to be enough just to feed it right and spice it right. And I have to talk to them about how to reduce the stress. Can they reduce the situation, the situational stress? And then what are the tools that can be offered that will help them manage that stress? Okay, that's one thing. So Nidra, Brahmacharya. Now, with regards to Ahara, what I mean by that is you're going to address the Nidra, the sleep, and you're going to address the Brahmacharya, the practices that they can do to cultivate their faith that they can get through this situation. You're talking about the Ahara. Ahara is food or intake. So what can a person do if they have Sama Agni? Well, if they have Sama Agni, their Agni is working just fine. So whatever they're doing, great. What if they have Vishama Agni? What is Vishama Agni? Vishama Agni is irregular Agni. Any dosha, any prakriti can have Vishama Agni, but it primarily corresponds to Vata dosha. And signs of Vishama Agni, again, gas, bloating, constipation, and irregular appetite. So what can we do for somebody with an irregular appetite? The main thing is to get them to eat their meals at the same time every single day and no snacking. If they're snacking, they're not going to be hungry then at the mealtime. It's essential that Vata people, especially so that they don't get a Vishama Agni, eat their meals regular time every single day. And you can help them work out that schedule, generally speaking, at 7 a.m., noon, 5 or 6 p.m. If they can't do that because they go to bed later, because they get up early, maybe they're up at 4 and they have to get to work by 7, obviously that has to be modified to work to their lifestyle. Still, we're talking about 5 hours after breakfast and about 6 hours after lunch. Lunch being the biggest meal, breakfast and dinner being soupy, cooked, and spice added, because where is the sun early in the morning? On the horizon. Still fairly cold. Where is the sun at noon? Directly above. Strongest, hottest time of the day. And where is the sun in the evening? On the horizon again, cooling. So in the morning and the evening times, we have less Agni. Just as the sun is not as strong in those times, neither is our sun, our Agni. Lunchtime, we have the strongest Agni, just as the sun is the strongest then as well. We've got to live accordingly, according to the rhythms of the day, and according to the rhythms of the year that give us our seasons. So very, very essential. Number one, Vishama Agni, number one response. They're going to want something to eat. They're going to maybe even say, oh, I don't like that. Vata, especially if they are Vata dosha, do not like schedules. It feels like you're putting a cage on them and they're a bird and they just want to fly. So see if you can help them with that. Find a fun, creative, playful, liberating way, a way that feels like they're not being caged, to regulate their times. That is number one. It will really make a big difference. And that's because they're then going to be programming their body to produce the digestive enzymes that will help them digest their food each and every day. So time regulation is critical. The second thing that's really going to be helpful for Vata dosha is to sip hot water throughout the day. And by that, I simply mean it doesn't have to be boiling hot, but more than room temperature, not just not cold. Okay? So Vishama Agni, actually any Agni, we should never put ice or cold water to the Agni, right? Agni is fire. Fire should be hot. Too much water, too much ice, too much cold can put out the Agni, right? So just as you wouldn't throw water on a fire, you wouldn't throw a bucket of ice on the fire. Why would you do that to your own Agni? Speaking more scientifically about that, what happens when you have a cut? I have a cut here from my puppy. You know, if that were really bleeding, I would put ice on it. Why? Because ice or real cold temperature shunts away the blood. And that will give that a chance to clot and stop bleeding. So if you put ice in your belly, you're shunting away the blood exactly at the time when you eat, when you need blood to flow to the digestive tract in order to stimulate the digestive fire and proper optimal digestion. Blood to the belly is a key part of digestion. And that's why if you're in a cold environment, great to put your hands on your belly or even wear a coat when you're eating or even put a blanket around yourself or even after you eat, especially if you have Manda Agni, which is more of a cold Agni as well, then you could rest for a moment with a blanket on your belly. Another thing simply is just to put your hands right there on your belly. I've got my hands one on top of the other on the upper belly. One, the lower hand is across the belly button and the upper hand is right above that on the solar plexus. Another thing people can do, I'm just talking about keeping that digestive fire hot, right? So now I'm talking about keeping it hot, keeping the blood flowing. No ice. And if you want to, you could even do pranayama before you eat because that'll help to warm up the belly. But speaking strictly of Vishama Agni, no ice, no cold water, ideally sipping warm water throughout the day. Now they can take warm water and put it in a thermos and take that with them throughout the day. They can take it from room to room if they're at home. They can take it to their office. They can take it to wherever they were. A thermos of hot water throughout the day. And then the third thing that is ideal for Vishama Agni, spice. Now the ideal spice for Vishama Agni, although it's not the only one, is ginger. So going back to what we said about sipping hot water throughout the day, Vata can boil ginger, take 4 cups of water and about 1 inch of ginger, slice it, throw it in, boil it up, let it steep for about 5 to 10 minutes on a gentle little rumble there, and then strain off the ginger and sip that ginger water throughout the day. That is really ideal. You've got the heat of the temperature and you've got the warming spice that will stimulate Agni and help to restore that Vishama to Sama Agni. So three things: regulate the time, sip warm water, add ginger. The other thing is that they can add ginger to their food. They can add ginger when they're cooking. Ginger can be added to oatmeal for breakfast. Ginger can be added to khichdi for lunch. And ginger can be added to a soup for dinner. Ginger can be added to everything. Ideally fresh ginger, and you can grate it. And, you know, ginger for tea, you can throw it in with the skin on. So it's very easy to do. Just chop, 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 throw it in, boil it up, and you've got your ginger tea, your ginger, hot ginger water. Other spices that are good for Vishama Agni are, obviously, they're going to be similar to the Vata. So for Vishama Agni, it can be anything from cinnamon, cardamom, fennel, coriander. Clove would also be good. Ginger is excellent. Cumin is another good one for Vishama Agni. So you can toss in whatever your favorite spice is of those groups. You can toss in whatever your favorite spice is in that group. It doesn't have to be ginger if you don't like ginger. Ginger is just the very, very best, right? Ginger is so healing. It has so many actions that are healthy on the body, right? Including stimulating Agni, stimulating circulation, reducing inflammation. It's great for nausea. It's just so healthy and healing overall. Ideal spice for Vishama Agni. One of the things that I love for Vishama Agni, especially when the appetite is very irregular, to help them get onto more regularity of a schedule with eating, is to take ginger and make matchsticks out of it. So you slice a coin of ginger, peel it, and then slice lines. So you're making these matchsticks. Put that in a small, shallow bowl, squeeze in lime juice, and then add a dash of rock salt, is what's used in India. If you don't have rock salt, many people don't, black salt or pink salt, Himalayan salt. So it's got to be a high mineral concentration in the salt. Add the salt, the lemon, just a pinch, salt, lemon, ginger. And make that in the morning if you can, at least an hour before you're going to eat. Eat it just before you eat. And that will stimulate the digestive fire to make you hungry. It should actually stimulate appetite. And actually, in Ayurveda, that's called an appetizer because it literally stimulates appetite. So that's one of the greatest ways of using ginger to help to heal or restore the balance to Vishama Agni. So those are the three principal things for Vishama Agni. I'm going to give you two more. These are secondary. The fourth one would be to have a lassi after lunch. So just eat until you're not quite full and then have about this much of a lassi. So half this cup of water and half this cup of yogurt. People will so often say, oh, I can't take dairy, but there's so many kinds of yogurt. It doesn't have to be dairy. Have a coconut yogurt, have an almond yogurt, have a rice yogurt. Equal parts yogurt, equal parts water. Put it in a blender, blend it till it's very, very frothy. Add your favorite spice, ginger, powder this time. Ginger, cinnamon, cumin, cardamom, coriander, fennel, nutmeg. Okay, and you can add all of the above or one of the above or a few of the above. And then sip that after your meal. This is fourth, it's secondary, but it can be very helpful for Vishama Agni. Because the dysregulated states of Agni can produce Ama, one of the ideal ways to reduce Ama is to simply stop putting food into the body until the body has properly been able to complete digesting the food particles that are in it, right? So if Ama is undigested food particles, sometimes we just need to give the body time to finish digesting the food particles. Sometimes that's all it is. And that means fasting. However, with Vata dosha, we don't recommend a lot of fasting. So for Vata dosha, a fast looks like maybe some stewed fruits for breakfast, or even oatmeal, khichdi for lunch, and some delicious vegetable soup for dinner. No snacking in between, warm ginger water all the way through. And to do that once a month, or anytime that someone sees Vishama Agni is present, that would be really excellent. In other words, don't feed the Ama. Don't feed the monkey. Don't feed the Ama in the system. For Vata dosha, usually just no snacking, three regulated meals at the same time every day is the fast that works best for them. But they could take it a step further by going into either the stewed fruits or the oatmeal, khichdi for lunch, vegetable soup for dinner, hot water ginger throughout the day. That would be an excellent one-day fast. That's called a fast in Ayurveda, and that's the ideal fast for Vata. Okay, so just to review, to balance Agni when it's in a state of Vishama, to bring Vishama to Sama, we want to regulate, eat your meals same time every day. So important. Two, no ice water. only hot water. Sip hot water throughout the day. 3, ginger. Ginger is Vishama Agni's worst enemy and the best friend to somebody who has a tendency to go in that direction. Ginger is ideal for your hot water, for your tea, for your meals. Other ones of those spices mentioned can also work, but ginger is the best. 4, a little bit more probiotics, a little bit more of the sour taste in your meals, particularly with something like a lassi after your meal. Remember, yogurt is heavy, lassi is light. That's because you've blended it to make it very frothy. So equal parts water, yogurt can be non-dairy, favorite digestive spice, blend it, make it frothy, have that after your meal. Okay. And then finally, a one-day fast, which is eating, but no snacking, and no eating at least 3 hours before bed. So very light breakfast, a heartier macronutrient meal that is still easy to digest, something like khichdi with vegetables, steamed vegetables, or vegetables cooked in as you make the khichdi, and then a very light dinner of vegetables, ideally some kind of a soup. So those are your 5 steps to restore Agni in the case of Vishama Agni. So I want to talk now about if you have Tikshna Agni. Tikshna Agni is related most to Pitta. Remember what Tikshna Agni means? Sharp. Pittas can be sharp. They can be sharp-minded. They can be sharp-tongued. They see clearly. And just like the flames of that Agni, the flame edges are sharp. So Tikshna Agni is interesting because we often say that Pitta has a great appetite. They have usually a strong appetite. And they usually have an appetite that not only means they can eat a little bit more than the other two doshas, but they can eat foods that are a little heavier, a little bit harder to digest. So they have more and more variety that they can actually eat. But when Tikshna Agni, when Agni gets out of balance in the Pitta direction, it's called Tikshna. And that sharp Agni means they may feel a sharpness in the belly. They may feel like they've got a knife scraped across the gut. They can feel cramps. Signs of Tikshna Agni are cramps, inflammation, diarrhea, and burning sensations can be a sign of that, as well as certain things like very red eyes, skin rash, or redness, or pimples, or acne. There can be many sort of different signs of Tikshna Agni, and sometimes, especially if it's skin, we're going to have to do some testing to see if it is foodborne. But basically, someone's going to be feeling a cutting, a burning, a sharpness somewhere in the belly, somewhere in along the digestive tract. So again, we have to look at if there's stress. Stress can be a huge source of Tikshna Agni. And Pitta stress tends to be working really hard, trying to get something done, trying to maybe force an outcome. Too much that they're trying to do, or too much precision, too much making something happen. So they need softness. They need soothing. They need to stop and smell the roses. They need to be encouraged to realize that if they don't get the job done today, it'll be okay to get it done tomorrow. If it isn't done tonight, they still need to go to sleep and get those 8 hours before 10 up by 6. So they also need to eat same time every day. Sometimes Pitta is so driven they want to get some one more task done before the next meal. But Pitta can also be very easy to convince, let's say, once you tell them what works and how it works and why it works, and they're usually, they follow that really very, very well. Pitta people can be most challenging to work with if they're in resistance, but they can be the greatest to work with because oftentimes they come into compliance really quickly and they follow the protocols when they know the benefits. So yeah, of course, getting them to schedule their meals. They may already be there though, but scheduling meals, of course, is going to be important for anyone. But the number, let's say 3, starting with 3 ways to address Tikshna Agni after you've addressed stress, if there is a cause of stress there. The number three ways, let's say, I would start with food and what they're eating. Pitta dosha people can have a tendency towards sharp allergies, allergies that create redness, allergies that create irritable bowel syndrome, inflammation, inflammatory diseases like irritable bowel system. Allergies can show up in a whole variety of ways, but Pitta dosha, or people with a Tikshana Agni, it can be a result of food that they're not digesting properly, that's upsetting them. So that can be dairy, that can be gluten, that could be strawberries. So you want to make sure that they are eating foods that are digestible to them and removing anything that is difficult to digest. Remember that Ayurveda does say that we should be able to digest all foods that are proper foods, not genetically modified foods, because the body doesn't always recognize the modifications, right? But Ayurveda does say that we should be, if we have good, strong Sama Agni, be able to digest foods properly prepared, properly taken in the right season, according to the right dosha and the right time of day. Having said that, if somebody has a dysregulated Agni, they don't have the strong Agni to take and eat any foods. So we need to make the foods very, very sattvic, very gentle, very easy to digest, removing things that are allergy prone, right? That they may have an allergy to. Or even if they don't think they do, I would still remove it. I would still remove dairy and wheat and heavy, hard to digest foods initially. So I would invite them into a 3-week experiment, you know, to create a food plan for them that would last 3 weeks, where in those 3 weeks, they completely eliminate foods that have a tendency to cause allergies or intolerances. And that means utterly removing dairy, utterly removing gluten, and utterly removing anything like corn, foods that are known to create those digestive disturbances. And that just brings me to junk food. Sometimes pittas are so hungry, they'll grab anything. Sometimes they're so busy, they'll grab anything. So, you know, making sure that your pitta person is eating good, healthy foods. And then we also have to look at what's healthy. What's healthy for their agni, what's healthy for their dosha, what's healthy for them for the season. Because gluten-free protein bars are not necessarily healthy, right? Cold, ice cold shakes with greens and protein powders and fruits and all kinds of things thrown into a blender in the morning, that's not necessarily healthy, right? It's a little confusing to the digestive system to throw too many things at it all at once. So also look at the food combinations and make sure they're not mixing yogurts and fruits, especially a smoothie in the morning with fruit, yogurt, all that other stuff. That's going to create a Tikshana Agni. Okay. So number one is really looking at what they're eating and bringing it really down to the most basic sattvic foods. That's going to be really important for them. Give them a 3-week elimination diet. I don't even like when I'm talking to them to use that word elimination, because there's so many delicious foods that they can still eat. That's one thing. The second thing with Tikshana Agni is really food combinations is going to matter here, especially when it comes to the sour tasting foods. Too much sour tasting foods can absolutely create Tikshana Agni. So it may be important to altogether eliminate or at least reduce. You might have them reduce yogurt if they're taking yogurt every day. You might have them reduce kombucha or probiotics that they may be taking every day. You might have them reduce citrus, vinegars, etc. And a lot of people will say, well, I've been taking apple cider vinegar in the morning because I was told that would help me. See, if it's Tikshana Agni, that's not going to help. If it's Vishama Agni, that will. Remember, apple cider vinegar is a sour taste. Sour is excellent for Vishama Agni, i.e. or Vata dosha. But sour taste is the taste that most aggravates Pitta, and it most will aggravate Pitta to create a Tikshana Agni. So removing or really dramatically reducing sour tasting foods, that's number two for Tikshana Agni. Very, very important. And then the final thing for Tikshana Agni is to give them cooling spices and foods, and really, really cooling. So adding cilantro, parsley, mint to their meals, having a mint tea, throwing into a pitcher of water, big pitcher of water in the morning, putting water in a copper vessel and letting it sit overnight would be the most ideal thing. But the other thing that they can do is to take a big pitcher of water at night, fill it up, and add sliced cucumber, add a whole bunch of mint, add a little tiny pinch of pink salt, and add a little bit of lime. If you want to, you can even peel the lime and add some of the lime peel to that water. Main thing is lime, mint, cucumber, and then a little pinch of water, a pinch of pink salt, excuse me, because that's got all those minerals in it. Tikshna Agni needs minerals. Minerals are very cooling. And there are great minerals and electrolytes in cucumber. And lime is cooling. So that's the only citrus that they should use if they've got Tikshna Agni. And mint is the most cooling of all the herbs. So definitely mint. So mint, cilantro, parsley are very cooling as herbs. And then spices are fennel. Fennel seed, coriander, which is the seed of cilantro, are also really excellent. And those can be toasted and then ground and made into a tea that can also be added to foods. Rose is also very cooling, and sometimes it's nice to add a little rose water to your water, or you can add rose water to your tea. Rose and fennel makes a very nice tea. Okay, so cooling, cooling, cooling. And finally, if the Tikshna Agni is very strong, even something like a cilantro water, and that's where you're going to take a handful of cilantro leaves and stems, throw them in a blender with 2 cups of water, and blend that until it's absolute water, just completely liquefied. Strain it, so pour through a strainer. Take the liquid, I'm going to tell you what to do with the what you save in the strainer, but take the liquid and sip it. It's going to be terrible tasting. So if you want, you could do equal parts that cilantro water and coconut water. Coconut's very, very cooling, another great water for Tikshna Agni people to drink. But then the cilantro is excellent for being very cooling, very cleansing to the liver, cleansing to the blood, very, very cooling to the system. 1, 2, 3. What you're going to do with the fibers of the leaves and stems that got left in the colander or the strainer is, if you ever want to or need to, that's a really great, that becomes a great poultice. And you can just put that right on any place on the body where you may have acne or rash or excess heat or any kind of an allergic outbreak. That cilantro that got strained, just squeeze all the water up. Just put it on the skin directly and then just wrap it so that it stays there for a period of time. You just keep it there until it dries and then you can just take it and throw it. Okay. Turmeric is another really, really excellent herb spice for Tikshna Agni. And especially if it's in the skin, you can put turmeric on a pimple or turmeric on a rash. Turmeric is really great for the skin, really great for Pitta Dosha, also great to ingest, so you can add it to teas, smoothies, food, etc. It's very, very cooling to the system. Okay, those are the three primary things we're going to do. Secondary, fourth and fifth. One of the things that I like to recommend to people who have irritable bowel syndrome, hyperacidic gut, too much Tikshna Agni, and this is really a great thing for many people to do, except if they're kapha or if they have a manda agni. Ghee. So first thing in the morning to drink a ghee tea. 1 teaspoon ghee in 1 cup or 1 mug of hot boiling water or hot boiled water. And then you just sip it like that. Now look, if you have coffee in the morning, you can mix it in with your coffee. You can mix it in with your tea. But whatever liquid comes into you first before you eat, add a teaspoon. And if you don't take anything, then make it yourself. Add a teaspoon of ghee to that hot liquid and sip that 20 to 30 minutes before your first meal. And that will oleate the digestive tract. So especially if you're Vata dosha and you have a really dry colon and you're prone to constipation, that oleation will be very, very helpful with that. But if you have Tikshna Agni, this is really beautiful because Tikshna Agni, if there's irritation to the bowel, then this will help to heal the lining of the digestive tract. It's been shown that butyric acid helps to heal the epithelial layer of the intestine, small and large intestine. And so on an empty stomach, ghee is really excellent. And people will say, well, I'm vegan, I don't take ghee. It has to be ghee. I mean, they can take coconut oil or olive oil for the soothing, for the lubrication. That's okay. But it doesn't have the same properties that ghee has. This is why ghee is said to be both a great food, a great healthy fat to increase lubrication in the system, right? Just as other fats do. But it's also a healthy fat. It feeds the brain. It feeds the systems, the joints, the places where we need that healthy fat. But it also kindles the digestive fire. And this is exactly what we're talking about. And no other fat does that. Only ghee does that. It kindles the digestive fire if it's low or irregular. And it balances the digestive fire if it's too sharp, if it's too tikshna. And that means it heals that lining of the digestive tract to restore balance, to restore sama agni. So it's really quite powerful, even though I put it in as number four. It's really quite a powerful trick. It's just that sometimes you need to have built trust with somebody to actually invite them to do that. Okay, so that's really great. And then the final thing that I would say is just that we make sure that they are getting enough fuel to feed the fire. And so that might mean really talking to them about what they're eating. They need to get the right amount of sweet taste. They need to get included in the sweet taste, not just grains and not just, you know, high protein foods, macro nutrient dense foods, but also foods that are, you know, they need a lot of the healthy fats. Sweet is one of the best tastes to reduce pitta and therefore to reduce tikshna agni. So let's make sure that they're getting enough of the sweet taste as well as astringent and bitter. Astringent and bitter are cooling, so that's helpful for tikshna. But it's just like if a dragon is breathing fire, they're so hungry, right? So we need to put in enough food in order to feed that properly. Okay, so just to summarize again for tikshna agni, ways to address it, ways to work with people. To reduce the sharpness, the agni that's too strong, that's inflamed, and that is eating the internal digestive tract. Right? First, make sure that they're eating foods that genuinely are healthy. Not just that they're not eating junk foods, but that they're not eating junk foods, they're eating at the right of the day, and that they're eating foods that are Ayurvedically balancing for them. Okay, so the second thing is that they can have cooling liquids and refreshment throughout the day. Third is that their spices, mint is the most cooling of spices. Also parsley, cilantro, also turmeric, fennel, and coriander. And then fourthly, ghee tea in the morning to really put water on their internal fire. And then finally, the sweet taste is the taste that most reduces pitta and most reduces that tikshna agni. Now, again, we don't mean processed sugar, but we mean those really macro nutrient dense foods that are a little bit heavier, that will slow down their digestion, that'll take longer to digest, and so they feel satisfied a little bit longer. Okay. Good. And now for manda agni. And what does manda mean? Manda means slow. So anyone who has a manda agni, slow agni, then, well, that's fairly typical if they're of the kapha prakriti. If kapha is their nature, they are probably used to having a manda agni. But anyone can have a manda agni, so they can also be vata or pitta and have an agni that is just very, very slow. So remember, vishama is irregular. Sometimes they're hungry, sometimes they're not. Sometimes on Tuesday they're starving for lunch. At noon, on Wednesday at noon, they couldn't be bothered to eat. So very irregular appetite. Tikshana is very sharp, very, very hungry, very hangry, and some burning and inflammation, cramps, diarrhea. And then finally, manda agni. What are the signs of manda agni? The primary sign for manda agni is that after they eat, they feel lethargic, they feel heavy, they feel sluggish, they feel tired, they feel foggy. They may not feel clear. They may not feel like they can get back to work. Right? So they eat and it takes a long time to digest. It's a little bit like all of us after we've had a big holiday meal, a Thanksgiving meal. We want to go and rest, put our feet up. We want a siesta. But really, we shouldn't need a siesta after we eat if we're eating properly. We may need to take a few minutes, 15 minutes, to just sit. We should be eating at the right pace, slowly enough, that we're digesting as we're eating. And then we don't rush off after we eat. We take 10, 15 minutes to sit. And then we should be okay to get back to work or to take a walk, to do some gentle movement after the meal. But with a person with Manda Agni, they can't really do much. They have no mental energy, physical energy for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours after they eat. Sometimes even 4 or 5 hours after they eat, they still feel like they just ate. They still feel very full. They will feel sometimes like their belly is large and just very heavy. Their whole body will feel heavy after eating. That's the primary way that we know of Manda Agni. But secondary symptoms are excess weight, very slow metabolism. They feel like I'm not eating that much, and yet I still feel like I'm either putting on weight or just not losing it. So Manda Agni, slow digestion and slow metabolism. Generally, it relates to Kapha Dosha, and often a Kapha Dosha will have like perfect bowel movements. They wake up, and within an hour of waking up, they have a good bowel movement. Sometime later in the day, they may have a good bowel movement. So whereas we can see Vishama Agni through constipation and Tikshana Agni through diarrhea, loose stools, we can't see it through the bowel movements necessarily with Kapha person or Manda Agni, not necessarily going to be affecting the bowel movements. So that's an important thing to remember. It's more just a feeling of sluggishness and stagnation. But of course, that can block the other physiologies of the body. So everything starts to feel like it's slowing down and not working properly. As I said, including the brain, the mind, the heart, and they just start to feel stuck. So how are we going to address Manda Agni? Again, we have to think about stress. Stress absolutely throws us into fight, flight, or freeze, shuts down digestion, and a shut down digestion can very much feel like a Manda Agni. It's not working properly. So we have to really determine in this case, is the Manda Agni in and of itself the issue that needs addressing? Is it a Vata person who's so overwhelmed with a traumatic experience or with anxiety that their system has forced them now into a Manda Agni state? You have to think about that, because what we're going to do to stimulate Agni in the case of Manda Agni, we have to be careful if it is a Vata Prakriti person or if it's Vata Dosha that has created Manda Agni. I hope this makes sense to you. Because one of the things that's really important about Vata is that they can show up looking like Kapha. And I've had a lot of Vata people say to me, oh, I'm so Kapha. I'm tired all the time. I have no energy. I feel sluggish. I can't get things moving. And that could be a sign of a nervous system that's just kaput. They're just absolutely overwhelmed. They might have chronic fatigue. They might have been going, and they just crashed and they have no more energy. So we have to really be careful to make the distinction between Kapha and Vata in a state of overwhelm. Kapha is going to be generally their whole life slower moving, larger boned, more of the adipose tissue. Skin feels somewhat moist, somewhat cool, right? They have beautiful white teeth, big eyes, thick, wavy hair. Okay? Vata people, it's very different. So if you ask, well, were you going? Is it possible that this is burnout? Okay, with burnout, that's one thing with Manda Agni. Still, we're going to address the Manda Agni, but you're going to do it for a shorter period of time and with less intensity. So reducing the intensity, reducing the duration. Okay, keep that in mind as I talk about Manda Agni. If it's Pitta Dosha, which would be less likely that Pitta Dosha would end up with a Manda Agni. The things we do for Manda Agni, we have to be careful because we're stimulating the fire and we don't want to overstimulate Agni in a Pitta person. So with a Pitta person, it might be a day of Manda Agni remedies, okay? Very short duration, very reduced intensity. So let's talk about Manda Agni. Presuming that it's with a Kapha person, then I'll give modifications for the other doshas. It's interesting that I didn't say this with with the Vata or the Pitta based Agnis, right? But I'm saying that here, and you'll see why as we go, if you haven't, if it doesn't make sense yet. Okay, because what we're doing with Kapha Dosha, what we're doing with Manda Agnis, we're stimulating. And Vata is already often overstimulated in terms of movement, and Pitta is often overstimulated in terms of heat and fire. So we don't want to too much overstimulate them. We just have to watch, modify. Okay, so how are we going to balance Manda Agni? And remember, we have to bring it back to Sama. It's not just balancing the Manda, but we're balancing the Agni when it's in the condition or state of Manda. The problem with Manda Agni, especially if it's in a Kapha person, is that would have a tendency to really build Ama quickly. And Kapha is already prone to stagnation. Ama is going to create more stagnation. So you're basically putting sticky on sticky. You're putting sluggish on sluggish. Right? So that's really potentially a problem. Manda Agni is, of all the Agnis, the one that may take the longest to balance, to restore. Okay, and the reason for that is because it's slow. So it's slow in its process, but it's also slow to come back into balance. So with Manda Agni, we want to put fire, right? We want to put fire to the fire. There's not enough fire, and that's why it's so slow. There just isn't enough fire to eat away, to consume, to digest the food that's being put in, the fuel that's being put in. So fire that has too many logs on it. And it's maybe not the problem of the logs. It's the problem that there isn't enough fire under there to really eat up those logs and turn that into the bonfire that we're looking for here. Okay, so with Manda Agni, the key thing, as I said, is to increase fire. Again, the things you've heard before, no ice, no cold, no, nothing that's going to actually be cold or that's going to diminish the fire. And for that reason, one of the things that I think is great for Kapha Dosha to do before any meal, especially if there's Manda Agni, is to do like a breath of fire practice, Bhastrika breathing. So that's when you're really pulling the navel in on the exhale. So it's, you release to breathe in and you pull it back. You contract really strongly as you breathe out. And they can do 10 of those or 12 of those or 108 of those, but it's really a way to build heat in the belly. And it genuinely will do that. It'll also bring fire there. So that's going to help to actually stimulate appetite and stimulate digestion. So strong contraction of the belly as a way to prepare for a meal. So then the second thing, also just as with the Vishma Agni, is hot water sipped throughout the day. But in this case, we're going to make it hotter. In other words, spicy. So again, it can be ginger, but also black pepper and turmeric. Ideally, ginger, black pepper, turmeric. You can add other spices. You can add clove. You can add cinnamon. Cinnamon's a great one for Manda Agni. So it could be ginger, cinnamon, turmeric. Ginger, black pepper, turmeric is ideal. Why? Because both black pepper and turmeric are also drying. So they're, and cinnamon is too, also very drying. So they're heating and they're drying. So they'll balance maybe excess water that might be in the digestive tract, right? Excess mucus is what that looks like in the digestive tract. So we were talking with Manda Agni about really building heat in the digestive fire, really strengthening that, making those flames rise up. So hot water throughout the day, but not just any old hot water, spiced water throughout the day. And put it in the thermos, make sure you're drinking that very warm. So that's the second one that will really help with Manda Agni. And that will help with the metabolic fires, the Saptadhatu Agnis. Okay. Then thirdly, it's very, very important that spices are used when preparing meals. And foods have to be cooked with Manda Agni. No salads, no raw food, nothing cold. That's just going to create a cold, cold, cold digestive fire, which will ultimately result in more mucus, more respiratory issues, seasonal allergies, etc. So add spice to the food. Make it spicy. Make it so you can taste the heat. And that can be breakfast, adding a lot of cinnamon. That can be lunch, adding your favorite spice, and then saute it in ghee, and then add the foods that you're cooking. In the evening, soup. Okay, so, and it's very important, just as we mentioned with Vishma Agni, it's very, very important with Manda Agni they were eating at the right times of day and they were eating properly. But that's going to my fifth one. Okay. So to summarize for those three, the most important three things that we can do with Manda Agni, build heat in the belly through the breath of fire, pranayama. Drink hot, spicy tea throughout the day. When I say tea, I don't mean black tea or green tea, which is fine if you do. You can add it to that. But the main thing is lots of spice. Make sure that it's hot by temperature, hot by energy, meaning the spice. And the third thing is add lots of spice to your food. Okay. Then the next, the fourth and the fifth, which are secondary, but also still important. Something that you can do for Manda Agni is you can take honey, put it in a small bowl, add to that grated ginger, cinnamon, and if you want to, a little bit of lemon. Honey, ginger, cinnamon. And it becomes like a syrup. You can eat the ginger if you want to do it in matchsticks or if you just mince it and put it in small pieces, or you grate it and then it'll sort of dissolve into the honey. And take a spoonful of that before your meals. If you want to, you can add that to your oatmeal as long as it's not too hot. You could add that to your warm, spicy water that you're drinking, as long as it's not too hot. Honey denatures at too high heat, somewhere between 110 and 120 degrees. So you can't add honey to anything too hot, but you can add it to things that are not boiling. If you can touch it on the inside of your wrist, then you can add it. So honey is drying and slightly heating to the digestive tract. Ginger and cinnamon. Have that before your main meal lunch and have it before your dinner, especially if you want to, you can start into your breakfast. So honey, lemon, ginger, if you want to add lemon, that's optional. Honey, ginger, cinnamon. Okay. Also, by the way, a great cough syrup. Great if you have any excess mucus in the respiratory passages. And then finally, this thing that I was starting to say earlier, so important again with Manda Agni, eating at the right times of day. But here I would talk about eating possibly two meals a day instead of three. Maybe with Manda Agni, it's more about intermittent fasting, really. So having your first meal of the day, maybe more of a brunch, 11, 11:30. And your second meal, it might be more at 5. And then that's it. It's essential that there's no eating after dinner. Essential that there's no snacking. Each phase of digestion needs to be complete. No eating unless the person's hungry. And no eating in between meals, okay? So it's very, very important with Manda Agni that we look at fasting. So that's the next thing. The intermittent fasting is there if you're eating first meal at around 11 and last meal finishes by 6. That's going to give you, boy, what is that? 12 plus 5, 17 hour intermittent fasting. And you could do that daily or you could try to do that 4 to 5 times a week. But also it's very important with Manda Agni that we actually fast. This is the one where one of the best ways to stimulate digestion in this case will be to not eat, right? It's like as if there's too many logs on a fire that hasn't got enough strength to handle those logs. So what do? Don't put the logs on. So with Manda Agni, really important to encourage one night a week, no food. So maybe they have that one meal at 11 or 12, and the next day, meal at 11 or 12. It's a 24-hour fast. It's all we have to do. If they feel, the other thing to think about, though, is if they don't feel hungry the second day, they could go 2 days. Sometimes people with Manda Agni, once they stop eating, they actually don't feel hungry. If they don't feel hungry, then their body's not ready for them to eat. They're still digesting. So with Manda Agni, we can look at a more extended fast that actually is what we think of when we think of the word fast, no eating. For Vishama Agni, a fast is more like khichdi throughout the day. For Manda Agni, it actually means skipping a meal. And that's something that a kapha should consider anyway, once a week to skip dinner. So a lot of things there for Manda Agni, and actually all five things are pretty important, but the three to get them started on are the three that we mentioned. So it's building the heat in the belly through the breath of fire. It's adding a lot of spice to their water, sipping that hot water throughout the day. Never anything but hot water. And then finally adding a lot of spice to the food. And then the supplement with a meal of the honey, ginger, cinnamon. And that can be excellent to give after the meal as well, because that's a bit like putting fire onto the log. So you've got a fire underneath and a fire on top. Spoon before the meal, spoon after the meal. That would be excellent for them. Of course, then the final thing, of course, as I said, is the fasting. So the supplement and the fast, they are also important, but you want to think about what this person's ready for and how much they can take all at once. So it's very important with a person with Manda Agni that we watch the Ama. Very, very important. And so that'll also mean that no oleation, no oil internally, no oil even on the body where there's Ama. We don't add oil where there's Ama. Why? Oil is sticky, Ama is sticky. Oil is heavy, Ama is heavy, right? So no oleation, no ghee tea, nothing like that, no Abhyanga even, as long as Ama is present, which it often will be, as I said, with Manda Agni. Okay, so what are the modifications with Manda Agni? A Vata person with Manda Agni, it may be enough simply to do that breath of fire and sip the hot water with spice, and it can be more Vata balancing spice, and maybe have that ginger lemon before their meal, a little honey ginger after the meal. Okay, but not so hot and spicy in terms of the spices that they use. And they don't certainly need to do that fasting. With somebody who's a Pitta person who has a Manda Agni, again, that's going to be more infrequent, more unusual to see that. But spicing, we have to absolutely know. None of those spices that I mentioned. Only spice that could be okay for them would be mint tea, fennel tea, right? Coriander fennel tea, CCF tea, cumin, coriander, fennel tea. Really, that might be one of the best things that you could do with a Pitta person with Manda Agni. They could do gentle fanning of the flames with the Bhastrika breathing. Okay? And they could do eating the light meals, stewed fruit in the morning, nice khichdi with vegetables for lunch, and a good, beautiful soup for dinner as a fast. And even they might be able to skip a meal, like skip dinner, and then have breakfast in the morning because they're probably going to wake up really hungry. So with the Pitta dosha, we're just not adding all those heating spices. Okay? And we want to make sure that even though they have Manda Agni, that they're in a cooling way still eating enough. And you want to think about with these different states of Agni, the doshic foods that are appropriate for that person and their dosha. So with Vishama Agni, if it's a Vata person, make sure they focus on the sweet, sour, and salty tastes. The salty and the sour will very much help with the Vishama Agni. And if it's a Tikshna Agni person with Pitta, they have to focus, as we said, on the sweet, astringent, and bitter. And those heavier, especially the sweet taste, which is cooling, but those cooling tastes will all help to bring down the tikshna, especially what does heat do? It rises. So we especially want that heavier taste of sweet for pitta, dosha, tikshna, agni. And then finally with kapha, dosha, manda, agni, the tastes for them are pungent, astringent, bitter. So they want to eat light, they want to eat cooked, and they want to focus on pungent, astringent, bitter. That means spicy beans and greens is a great meal for them. And then turn it into a soup for dinner. So we've talked about the states of Agni and how to restore Agni to Sama Agni when there's these dysregulated states. And we've talked about the foods and the spicing. But what if you have Sama Agni and you want to maintain that? How do you preserve Sama Agni? Well, we do it by eating sattvically and eating according to the dosha. And by this, I mean the dosha of the season, the dosha of the time of day, and your dosha. So we eat according to the time of day. Meals in the morning are cooked and gently spiced. And that means oatmeal or a bowl of grain, stewed fruit, a piece of toast, eggs if you eat eggs. I always think about our grandparents or our great-grandparents. I think about people who lived in rural areas and what they would eat for breakfast. And once upon a time, often people would eat what was left on the stove. Before refrigeration, You might have something left on the stove overnight, and the cool of the evening would be just enough cool for it. In the morning, you put the fire back on, warm it up, and you have that. So it's a soup, it's a stew, it's a savory. And the savories are actually quite delicious in the morning, quite a hearty thing to eat in the morning. And what I love about that is that it's both light and gently spiced, but it also feels like it really sets you up for the day. Generally, savory breakfasts are best for Pitta Dosha, or generally they're the ones who seem to like it the most, right? So then middle time of the day is the time when the Agni is strongest, and so that's when we can eat our largest meal and also the heaviest foods. That's when we can bring in some raw, so you can have salad on the side. Sometimes I'll put beans or something I've cooked over greens, so the greens slightly steam in there, but they're mostly uncooked. You could grate some carrot over your stew or your soup or your cooked greens, that sort of thing. It's also the time of the day when, if you do eat meat, you eat meat because that's very heavy. Time of day to have pasta. If you want to have those heavier meals, it's also the time of the day to celebrate, because that's the time of day to have cake if you're going to have some dessert. So the things that are hardest to digest, which is the heavier foods, and the colder foods, which is the astringent and the bitter, those you have at lunchtime. And then at dinner, best for dinner is soup. That's why they call that time of day, or the meal that time of day, supper. That comes from S-O-U, super, that became supper. So generally soup with a hearty chunky piece of bread, or you know, your favorite crackers, something like that. It can be a big hearty puree, it can be a hearty stew, or something light depending on your dosha. Also depending on your dosha is how you're going to spice that. But remembering that the last meal of the day, the last thing we put in our mouth, goes into the mouth 3 hours before we go to bed. Those are the primary ways that we want to maintain balance and the Sama Agni. Then you can, of course, spice according to the dosha, your dosha, season dosha, time of day dosha. And so we've talked about the spices for the doshas. But what if you're having friends over for dinner? Or what if you've got a family and everyone's all different constitutions and doshas? What if you're having a party and you want to make a one-pot meal? Well, I put together this all-dosha spices list. And it's just a list that I pulled. This isn't in the scripture anywhere, that these are the all-dosha spices. But I pulled this list together because people often ask me, what spices can I use that will work for everybody? So I'm going to go through these one by one. I want to just say that not all of them are excellent for every single dosha, but rather that you can use these spices in a meal for everybody. And then your Pitta person or your Vata person may supplement, or they may just have this once in a while, right? So this is just how you're going to make one meal for everybody and what spices to use. Ginger, again, is said to be the universal medicine or the mother of all spices. Ginger is excellent for Vata, excellent for nausea, anxiety, excellent for circulation, excellent for getting that right prana flow. It's stimulative, kindles digestive fire. It's excellent for kapha because it's excellent for heating the body. It's excellent for encouraging circulation. And it's good for pitta in moderation because it's anti-inflammatory. Again, for pitta in moderation, but it is okay for pitta because of its anti-inflammatory action. Cumin, and I'm going to talk about these spices per the dosha. You can read the slide here to read more detail about them. Cumin is said to be excellent for Vata, and some think of it as excellent for Kapha. It's gently warming, and that's why it's good for Vata. It won't overwhelm the digestive system. It's not too heating. It's not too enkindling. At the same time, it's excellent for Kapha because it can really be very warming for the system. It can be very, very good for metabolism and metabolic fires. For Pitta, it's interesting. Cumin has this kind of, I feel like it's the mother's embrace. It can be slightly cooling. It's very earthy, very grounding, somewhat soothing. It's good, again, in moderation for pitta. That's why it's very purifying and detoxifying. And it helps more with the metabolic fires than the digestive fires. And that's why it's one of the key spices in our primary detoxifying tea, CCFT, cumin, coriander, fennel. And cumin, coriander, fennel is equal parts cumin seeds, coriander seeds, fennel seeds. Put them in a jar, shake it up, and then take 1 tablespoon, put it in with 4 cups of water, bring it to a boil, let it simmer 10 minutes, strain, put it in the thermos, sip it warm throughout the day. And the reason that's so detoxifying is that that strengthens the metabolic fires to purify the tissues, to purify the body at the tissue level beyond the digestive level. So CCFT, cumin, is one of the key ingredients there. Coriander is a cooling spice, so it's an excellent spice for pitta. It's the seed of cilantro. And so we know cilantro is very, very cooling. And this is the cooling seed. But it's not too cooling, so it's okay still for vata. The reason we often include coriander as a vata balancing spice is because it's so good at kindling the digestive fire without building heat in the body. So it's good for vata, good for pitta, good for VP, vata pitta, when combined. Really excellent for digestion. Mustard seeds are a beautiful spice, really important for vata, because they help to lubricate the digestive tract. They help to lubricate the colon when there's dry colon or constipation. Mustard seeds are carminative, so they're excellent when cooking beans and eating beans. What we do is we put ghee in, melt the ghee, or your choice of healthy fats. Melt it, add just a half teaspoon or a scant teaspoon of mustard seeds, really a 3 to 4 finger pinch. Let them pop and then immediately put in your beans. You don't want them to burn, but you do need them to pop. And you don't want too many or you really will taste how bitter they are. But ironically, even though they are a pungent bitter taste, they're super excellent for vata. So again, it's one of those unique prabhavs. Prabhav, P-R-A-B-H-A-V, means it's got a unique action. Despite its taste being overwhelming to vata, it's actually very excellent for vata, mustard seeds. Really helps with gas and bloating in general, and especially with the digestion of beans. So then turmeric, another universal spice. This one is excellent for all three doshas. Turmeric is considered pungent, astringent, and taste in its flavor profile. And so that would make it primarily excellent for kapha, which it is. It's drying, it's purifying, it helps lighten us up. But it's also excellent for pitta because it's cooling, anti-inflammatory. And it's excellent for vata because it feeds the brain, it cleanses the brain, it strengthens the neurological system, the nervous system. And it's great for creating more flexibility in the body. So when vata gets dry or stiff, it's really good at warming the muscles and helping to release that stiffness. So turmeric is definitely an all-dosha spice. Even as I was saying, like mustard seeds is not necessarily all-dosha spice, but it's good for all doshas when they're eating beans. Coriander is very gentle, kind of cooling. Not perfect for kapha, but it's not going to hurt a kapha. So this is what I hope this is making sense. Some of these spices are better for a dosha, better for two of the doshas, and it's okay for the third dosha. Turmeric is excellent for all three. Fenugreek, then, it's a seed, when we use it as a spice, that we can grind and toast, and it's pretty delicious. It's got a sweet, bitter taste to it, but it's the seed of a leafy green called methi, M-E-T-H-I, and methi is used as a primary ingredient in saag, S-A-A-G, if you're familiar with that beautiful leafy green that is often served at Indian restaurants. The traditional saag is made with methi, and it's a delicious green that comes up in the early spring. And so that tells you it's really excellent for kapha. Fenugreek spice is also excellent for kapha because it's light, heating, slightly bitter, addresses asthma, addresses respiratory passage, addresses cough, addresses diabetes. Oh, that's very kapha. But the sweet taste, it's also really excellent for vata. Fenugreek is really great if you soak the seeds overnight. And then in the morning you can throw off the seeds or go plant them and grow your own methi. And then sip the water that you soaked it in. And that's excellent for seasonal allergies, spring allergies. That's great for cough or asthma. Also, fenugreek is good for vata because it's slightly lubricating when needed. So some vata-reducing teas actually do include fenugreek. A little bit of that sweet taste, very soothing. And then finally, here, finally, I wrote Asafoetida. When I say finally, there's a few more I want to talk about. But Asafoetida is mostly for Vata, mostly for Vishama Agni. But because it's a very powerful carminative, it's great for cooking with beans. And it's great for making a tarka. So once your khichdi is done or your dal is done or you cooked a big pot of beans, like chili or something, then melt ghee, put in a half, actually a quarter, very small amount of asafoetida, also called hing, H-I-N-G. So a quarter teaspoon to a third of a teaspoon. Stir it around in that ghee. You can also add any other spices you want, salt, pepper, and then saute that for a minute. You're just gently toasting the asafoetida and the other spices. And then pour that in with your beans. Pour that into your pot and give it a really good stir. That'll add a really nice flavor and really, really help you digest comfortably the beans, which again, because they're astringent, they can be drying and harder to digest, harder to break down. So asafoetida is an all-dosha spice when cooking with beans. It's a great spice if you're vata dosha or if you have Vishama Agni to just add to your spice blend that you use with just about everything. So I also wanted to mention fennel. Fennel seed toasted can be very good in a tea for vata or pitta dosha. It's good with the cumin coriander as the CCF tea, which is detoxifying and purifying. Fennel is okay with kapha. It's very cooling, so with kapha it would have to be added to cinnamon, ginger, black pepper, red pepper, etc. So CCFT, excellent. If you are a kapha dosha, or especially if you have manda agni, with your cumin, coriander, fennel, I'll often say reduce the fennel or add ginger to give it more heat. Then I also wanted to address the herbs. More Westerners are familiar with the green herbs for adding flavor to their meals, and I just wanted to talk about those. So you've got mint, parsley, cilantro, dill, tarragon, basil, thyme, and oregano. And pretty much in that order, you're going from cooling to heating. The most cooling is mint, and the most heating is oregano. Mint is very cooling, parsley is cooling, cilantro is cooling. Dill is starting to move towards the middle. It's gently cooling, but not very cooling. That's why it's really good for vata, and especially if you added something else a little more warming to it. Then tarragon is sweet, gentle, slightly on the heating side. Basil, if you just take a bite of into basil and notice its taste, it has a lot of pepper. So it's basil is very, very excellent for vata, very excellent for kapha. Basil is said to be really good for vata because it's just gently regulating the agni. It's excellent for kapha because that peppery taste, slightly drying as well. But only, it's interesting how some of these herbs seem to know who they're dealing with and when they're needed and when they're not. So vata, kapha, basil is good for you because it's warming. It's okay for pitta in moderation because it's not too heating, it's not too overwhelming. Basil is excellent with dairy and heavy foods, and that's why in Italy you'll see the tricolore salad with tomato, mozzarella, and basil. Basil really is excellent for helping to break down dairy, whether it's milk or cheeses. Really, really excellent for that. So anytime you're having cheese, consider having basil with it. And then thyme and oregano, and oregano is pretty spicy. So those two are probably too strong for pitta dosha, but oregano is really excellent for kapha dosha. And of course, you see oregano in a lot of Italian cooking, pizzas, pastas, where those are heavier foods. You've got the gluten, you've got the dairy, and they're harder to digest. Oregano is very spicy, a lot of fire to it, and somewhat drying at the same time. So I hope you've enjoyed learning about your all-dosha spices. I hope it makes sense to you, and I hope you have fun playing with which one you're going to use or which combination of spices you want to use to not only augment the flavor of your meals, but to really increase their impact on your agni and the medicinal value to your body and to your wellness. So this is how we're going to address the agni. Now, we are needing to think about when we're thinking about ourselves or our clients. Again, state of agni, state of dosha. But what I'd like to invite you to do now is to think about your own state of agni. And pick one of these things and try it this week. Try 5 to 7 days of just one of these remedies and see how it affects your Agni. And if you're very brave, look at your dosha and pick an alternate Agni. For instance, if you're Pitta and you tend to have Tikshana Agni, or you just tend to have good appetite, try a remedy for Vishama or try a remedy for Manda Agni and see what it does to you. See if it gives you a lot of heat. See if it makes you even hungrier and increases your appetite. Try the opposite just to see its effect on you. Just do it one day. Just that exercise, that second exercise, one day. If you're Vata, you could try the Tikshana Agni remedy or the Manda Agni remedy if you have Vata dosha. If you have Kapha dosha, what happens if you try the Pitta or Tikshana Agni remedy? Will that make you even more sluggish? That will make you even colder. It would be interesting to see it and not just have a knowing of this in the intellect, but actually a knowing of this through the pratyaksha. The other thing that I'd like you to prepare for is cleanse, okay? So I'd love for you to choose the cleanse that's appropriate for your dosha or for the season that you're in. In other words, if it's winter time for you, you might do the winter cleanse. But if you're Pitta dosha, it would be interesting for you to do the summer cleanse right now in the winter and see what happens. So I'd really like for you to consider taking 5 days and doing a cleanse. And at the very, very least, 3 days Khichdi diet, which is called a mono diet or mono fast. And that can be a grain for breakfast, that can be Khichdi for breakfast, that can be stewed fruits for breakfast. Khichdi for lunch, cook in vegetables with it to make it a one pot meal and very easy to do. In the evening, take whatever's left over, add more vegetables, bring it, you know, warm it up with lots of vegetable broth and turn it into a puree and have that as a soup. Very easy to do 3 meals a day and make them mainly Khichdi. Try that for 3 days in a row, drinking the CCFT that I mentioned that's balancing for all three doshas and all four states of Agni. Cumin, coriander, fennel, equal parts. You take the seeds of cumin, the seeds of coriander, the seeds of fennel, put them into a jar. Let's pretend this is a jar. Cover it in the top, give it a good shake. And then a tablespoon with 4 cups of water, bring it to a boil, let it simmer on low for 10 minutes, strain off the seeds, sip that warm throughout the day. So at the very least, the standard universal all seasons cleanse, because we're talking about balancing Agni. And so a cleanse is really about balancing Agni. A cleanse is about restoring your Agni so your fire can cleanse the body. Burn away the toxins, burn away the ama, so that you're strengthening the Jatara Agni, the digestive Agni, but you're also strengthening the Mahabhutani Agnis, the Agnis, the fires of the five elements, and the Saptadhatu Agnis. So you're strengthening metabolism. This is what a cleanse is, Ayurvedically speaking, restoring Agni, because your body knows how to cleanse itself. Every single day your body is taking in foods, choosing what will nourish, releasing what depletes, right? And every single day your body's seeking to purify through the lymphatic system, through all the ways that the body is bringing toxins to the organs of elimination and trying to excrete them out through the urine, through the bowel, through the skin, right? So a Khichdi fast is basically a macronutrient meal, right? Khichdi is macronutrients. It's got all the nutrients you need. And yet it's very light and easy to digest. It doesn't take energy from the other parts of the body. It helps to restore Agni, and it helps to restore those powers of purification. So you've got some homework for this week. I'd love for you, let's turn it around and let's say that's the first thing. Do a cleanse. See if you can do a 3-day Khichdi cleanse this week and see how it goes for you. And then if you feel that you can, also take one of the remedies for one of the states of Agni that you think is most relevant to you and see how it works. So while you're doing your Khichdi cleanse, maybe you do the Vishama remedy of the ginger matchsticks, or maybe you do the Manda Agni remedy of honey, ginger, cinnamon. And that can be powder. You can use cinnamon powder, ginger powder too, by the way, if you'd like to, if you don't want to grate the ginger or you don't have fresh ginger. Okay, so choose wisely, pay attention, take notes, keep a journal. Let us know on the Facebook page what you choose, when you're doing it, and what outcomes are most striking, what you notice, what you observe. You can notice your skin. You can notice your eyes. You can notice how you feel before you eat, how you feel after you eat. You can notice your bowel movement, color of your urine. So I'm going to come on next week when we go live, and we're going to talk about diagnostics, eyes, tongue, urine, bowel. But for now, keep a food journal. Keep a daily journal. Notice what your state is before, state of Agni, state of urine, state of bowel, state of sleep, state of energy, eyes, skin, etc. Make a note, and then you do your kichari, make notes throughout the day as to how you feel, what you notice, and then at the very end, please make a note. Let's talk about it when we go live next week, and let's please share it on the Facebook page. Again, if you have any questions, please come to Facebook and share them there, because others probably have the same question, or at least would like to know the answer. So let's close our eyes and come back to ourselves. Let's bring our awareness to the heart center. Allow yourself to see in your heart the face of the divine, the face of Satchitananda, the face of your soul, your beautiful, beloved, precious soul. And yourself see that beautiful face looking back at you with radiance, with joy, with pride, with delight. Taking deep breaths as you enjoy this drishti, this gaze, this interlocking energy back and forth, one to the other, observing, appreciating, delighting in being able to see you and to be able to be seen. Please tell that beautiful face in your heart center what you appreciate about her, what you're thankful for, what she means to you. And then allow her to tell you what she appreciates about you, what she sees in you that makes her fill with delight. And then folding your hands one on top of the other onto your heart center. Allow yourself to see yourself going near to this beauty, this beloved, this sister, mother, child, friend that is your soul, and giving her a big hug, saying thank you for being here for me, thank you for being the wisdom, the truth, the mentor, the teacher, the guide, loving presence who is always with me. Thank you for giving me this life. Thank you for being this radiant intelligence that guides me in this life. And thank you for being the love that supports me in this life so that I can be who I've come here to be. And I can receive all the abundant nourishment of nature as I seek to share my life, light, and love with others. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our teachers. Thank you to all of the teachers of Ayurveda. Thank you to all of the great teachers of wisdom everywhere. Om Guru Pyo Namaha, Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha, Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha, Om Shri Shri, Om Shri Dhammantarya Namaha, Om Shri Shri Om. Om Guru Namaha Namaha. Thank you, everyone. Blessings to you. Have a great week.